Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Edward Downey. Edward, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Your email says, "Dear Joe, I'm sick and tired of watching every RTE TV news broadcast. People being given vaccination injections for COVID-19. Tonight, I counted 4 people being given the injections on the 9 o'clock news alone. It makes me extremely anxious, nauseous and feeling like I want to faint." Why, Edward?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I was watching last night and I said to myself, you know something? Jesus, there must be something better on the news, because every time you look at the news, it's somebody getting a vaccination. So I just thought I'd look at them and I'd add them up in terms of how many they actually showed.
Okay.
And on the same clip, like, there was 4 of them.
Okay.
And it reminded me of, I was just sitting there looking at this and I said, oh, Jesus, no, not another one. So I turned my head. It goes back to when I used to, I remember picking my son up from the local doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Edward, is Michael your son? He said, would you come in? He says, unfortunately, we just gave him an injection. Now, this guy was a rugby player, a pretty
okay.
strong guy.
Yeah.
And he was after collapsing on the floor.
He fainted.
He fainted, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of conscious of the fact that sort of we don't need to show every single time somebody's getting a jab, because it's not that interesting. I just find the whole thing a little bit much, and I know many people out there would say,
okay,
you know, what in the name of God are they showing all of those? I know my own family would have said, Jesus, you know, do they have to keep showing somebody getting those close-up injections? So that was really the only point I was making.
And it's a strong point. Your point about it makes me feel extremely anxious, nauseous, and feeling like I want to faint. Do you faint when you get an injection?
No, I don't. I have to admit, I'm used to getting them. It doesn't really bother me, but I don't like looking at people getting them.
Okay, and you said it should be... Well, I think there's 2 points. One, are you saying they add nothing to the story? The images.
Say that again?
You're saying the image, the picture, 4 times, as you say in one report, of the needle going into the arm.
Yeah.
You're saying that adds nothing to the story?
It does add to the story, but not if you repeat the story 4 times in the same sort of news broadcast. It's like it wasn't just one. The first thing they show, you know, here's Mary, she just got her injection, and
4
then
in one
his
report.
Show with his one.
Yeah.
So I just thought,
but okay. Should RTE try and reduce the number of injections they show on air, or tell you beforehand? You know the way they say there's flashing photography, which is a very important warning for people with certain conditions, really important, so I don't want to dilute that.
Absolutely,
but when they say,
yeah.
Do you think there should be a warning? By the way, there's images in this report that might upset people who are nervous about injections.
I do, yeah, absolutely. I think it would be a good idea just to say, listen, you know, we're going to be showing people getting jabs. I mean, I'm just thinking... Just God help us, like, I mean, when the vaccine starts to roll out, if they manage to get all of the vaccines that we were promised from AstraZeneca. And I suspect, like, hopefully we won't be seeing every one of those getting their injections. I'd be a bit worried about it.
Well, you're going to see more. Well, because the Johnson & Johnson have just announced that their global trials have found their single dose, which is critical and can be stored anywhere, basically, as far as I know. But it's also an injection, and it has to be an injection given the virus. That's my understanding. It can't be a tablet. Johnson & Johnson, which is an injection, global trial finds single dose COVID-19 vaccine is 66% effective. We had the announcement this morning from Novavax. What did the MD of Novavax say?
He said 98%.
Yeah, and he said the results were spectacular. But again, it's an injection. One dose injection. So,
yeah, but please God,
avert your eyes for the next 6 months.
Avert your eyes is right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. You know, I was making the point really that sort of like, you know, you listen to the radio nowadays, right? Every single show is something about the vaccine, and of course, it's of interest to a lot of people, but. It can be a bit over the top
because
with mental sort of issues or whatever, I'm sure they're listening to this and thinking, good God, you know, can we sort of change the picture a bit? So we resorted to watching Netflix. I mean, you know, and to wash your hands, as you say, Joe.
Yeah. Okay, Edward. I by the way, I take your point about the need for difference or whatever. But we used to do a Funny Friday, which we loved, with Sil and Doc and all the June and all the crew, and we travel around the country, which was a great kick of it. Even when we tried to do it in here, with social distancing, and you can't have more than, I think, two people in the studio where I'm sitting, which is the biggest studio apart from the concert orchestra, but that's empty for the last year or so. But apart from the concert orchestra studio, it's the biggest studio in the place. So we've had to abandon Funny Friday, but we're actively looking at other ideas for a Friday that we can do in the new world that we now
I'll bring it back,
live.
Joe. Listen, if you want me back to go on it, I'd be delighted.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. You've any gags handy there?
Catch me on the spot here a bit, Jeff. But I'd be delighted to participate.
And you know, the other thing, Edward, that was in, there was another survey, don't ask me who did it, that, you know, the knock-knock jokes? You know,
knock-knock joke. Who's here?
Yeah, knock-knock. If I said you knock-knock, you say who's there, and I say Ivor, and you say Ivor who, and you say Ivor...
Ivor Callaly.
The majority of people under 35 have never heard that knock-knock joke.
Really?
They've never heard of it.
I'm on the other side of that. I'm 65.
Okay, you're still young, Edward.
I'm a bit like yourself, Joe.
Yeah, you're an old timer. You're very young, young at heart.
Yeah, very young, yeah.
Okay, Edward, stay clear of the... But your point is made. By the way, no, stay and listen to Nuala. Nuala in Dublin 9. You agree with Edward, Nuala.
I broke my heart laughing when he came on there, Joe. Yeah. I was listening to you. Because I said to my husband last night, I swear to God, if RTE don't stop putting on those needles every time I'm watching the news. If you have 6 o'clock news with 6 injections, I have to watch. And if I watch the 9 o'clock news, that's 12 I have to watch. I have a phobia about injections.
Have you?
All went back to when I was pregnant and they were trying to take my blood.
Oh, yeah. That
and I think
tough.
It was 4 nurses and the 5th one got me up against the wall.
Yeah.
To take the blood.
To get the blood, they have to find a vein.
Oh, I know that.
But to get the coronavirus injection, you just need to jab it into a muscle.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's the whole idea of an injection. I will not watch an injection.
Okay.
You know what we should be doing? We should probably put the mask over our eyes rather than over our mouth.
Yeah, but seriously, could they not just show us the vial or something? Do they have to show the needle going into the arm?
But you're saying the injections are vile. Nuala, did you get the flu jab?
No, I'm kind of wary because I feel at the moment, Joe, I feel, I touch wood here now, that I'm reasonably healthy enough.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I never would, but...
You should get the flu jab. Anyway, my point there was going to be, did you not get the flu jab because you don't like injections?
No, I've had some tests this year that I've had to get. When I have to do it, I'll do it.
Well, you're not exactly... How many injections have you had in the last decade?
Well, I've had a lot now in the last year because I was doing bits and pieces, but I warn them when I come in.
Nuala, you're not a dartboard. You've had maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, but like that's scary enough if you hate injections. Or I'm prone to fainting if I don't. I tell them to make sure I can lie down.
Wow.
But can you do something? This is one for you now, Joe. To the powers that be in there, could they, just twiddle it around a little bit and stop showing all the needles going in the arms? They can do the talk about it, but they have to show the needle going in the arm.
Okay.
It's funny.
I can't watch a hanging either. I can't watch
about
a hanging
about 3 months
either.
Ago.
Hang on. Nuala.
What?
There's a big difference between an injection and a hanging.
I'm trying to do the things about where I have my fingers over my eyes and I'm...
Or a beheading. Yeah, well...
I can't watch a needle, hanging, beheading.
Ah, now you're going from a grain of sand to the Sahara Desert in one leap.
I'm just putting a bit of amusement in there, Joe.
Okay.
All right, listen, Nuala, I would be delighted if you could sort that out, Joe.
Well, people are agreeing with Edward, like yourself, Nuala. Thanks indeed. Joe@rt.ie. Pat Carroll, go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Joe. Joe, I feel the very same. And like Nuala, I was laughing to myself when I heard Edward coming on because I thought, oh, gosh, every evening when the news comes on and I can see them putting that needle right into their arm, I cover my eyes and I just say to my husband, oh, is it over yet? Is it over? Tell me when it's over.
But what about people? But Pat, what about people say with medical conditions who have to administer self injections every day?
I know, Joe. Honest to God, I thank God every day that I
don't.
That's
good. Okay.
Honestly.
And would you get weak knees at the sight of the prospect?
I faint, Joe. Faint every time.
Without fail.
And without fail, and I know it's mind over matter, but.
Yeah.
And I'm 60 years of age, but it goes back to when I was a child.
And at what stage in the injection process do you faint?
Oh, gosh, the minute they put it in the skin and break the skin, I'm gone. Oh, yeah, it's dreadful. Wow. It's just.
But you warn the doctor or the nurse?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I have to lie down. Every time I get an injection, I have to lie down.
And you see, but the thing is, Pat, we're encouraging everyone to get the jab, the coronavirus.
I know, Joe. I know, and I'm an SNA. I work in a school,
I know. Which is, you'll say to them, listen, can you just put me in a comfortable place? And I might.
Stuck into the chair.
Exactly, Edward.
Where's Magella? Magella.
Hello, yes, Joe. How are you?
You're listening to Edward and Pat and Nuala all saying they either know people who faint when they get injections or they faint when they get injections.
Yes, indeed. Well, it doesn't bother me personally. I don't mind getting an injection. But every night I see it on the news and they're advertising it. I think it's the most off-putting advertisement they could put up. And particularly for the younger people or any age person that has a fear of needles.
Okay.
They just show it going through the skin. Oh, I mean, there is no need to be so dramatic about it.
Okay. And do you think...
We are encouraged... everybody to get the injection
and everyone else it is an injection but is in your objection to the injections being projected on the news is it do you think it'll put people off getting the injection?
Yes, I do. I think it would put anybody that would have a fear or an anxiety around it
whereas we want everyone to get the injection.
Exactly, yes.
No ifs or buts.
You know.
Yeah.
No ifs or buts. But I mean, and it's all the injections, the flu injection, they do the same thing. And I always cringe when I see it coming on. But last night was particularly, and I just laughed when the first guy rang in and I said, you know, there's a lot of people thinking like this.
Okay. You've hit a rich vein, Edward.
I can see that, yeah. I'm delighted to hear Rich Fame. But listen, can I just say, in fairness to RT, you're on a great show. I mean, between yourself, Claire Byrne, Ryan, and Ray Darcy, I mean, we'd be lost without you during lockdown. So I'm not on to make a major complaint, right. Just to make a point. That was all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Knock, Edwards.
Yeah, you too.
No, I'm doing the knock knock with you. Knock knock.
Okay, knock knock. Who's there?
Candace.
Candace who?
Candace, door open. I'm stuck out here.
Oh, come in. Wash your hands,
Joe. On 1850-715-815.
Started exactly 1 hour ago now with the caller, Jim Clockley, who spotted that the prize bond fund is not down 1 million as is reported, but it's actually down 6 million per annum, which is a big difference. And he brought us through that. And then we had Edward, and a lot of people then spotted other things they weren't happy with, checks and how you get your prize. Peter Edward Downey pointed out, and he said he thought people might take him seriously, that he can't stand the images on the news, especially, which is where they are, of people getting the injection. Now, Peter, and then people are telling us I faint when I get an injection. Peter Hale, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You got the coronavirus.
I'm probably the first surviving person to have got it last week, and I can tell you something for nothing. Those two people are absolutely right. I was scared shitless when I went in there, having seen the size of the needle going into your arm, because you know there's no relation at all between that and the flu injection, which is a nice little thing they put inside your arm for 2 seconds. This thing is a spear, Joe.
That's not.
I said to the nurse when I went in there, they said, "Look, nurse," I said, "I am 6'2", 22 stone child, right?"
Okay.
And she brought out this thing there, and I frightened the life out of me because I knew what was going in, Joe. You know, it really did frighten me. But there was no pain whatsoever.
No, okay, say that again. No pain whatsoever.
No pain whatsoever. Hardly felt it at all, quite genuinely. We can all joke about it, but it's absolutely harmless.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well done.
And
well done.
I got it in the nursing home. I'm in a nursing home here, so we were lucky to get it last week, you know.
Okay, Peter. How are you managing during the pandemic, Peter, in the nursing home?
Oh, brilliant. Oh, no, no problems at all, sir. No problem. We're unmuddling through. We're in a nursing home here that has not connected the... We're like as though we've won a war, Joe. We've all been vaccinated and we haven't had an illness since last March.
Well done.
And there's over 100 of us here, so we're thrilled to bits. You know, it's like you've won a war at this stage.
Yeah, long may that continue. Okay, Peter, hail and hearty. Thank you very much. Amanda. Good afternoon, Amanda. Okay, injections. What happened?
Oh, nothing. So, when I was a teenager, I had anemia.
Anemia,
and at the time, you'd be sent once a week for a blood test.
Okay, Amanda, hang on, we'll get you a better line. We'll inject a better line into you there. We'll find a line where we can make an injection. Hang on, Amanda, we'll fix that in a sec. John Arnold, while we're waiting. John.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
You're a farmer.
Well, I'm married to a farmer now.
Oh, your wife's a farmer?
Yeah, well, that's what people say, yeah.
Why? Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're a farmer, you have to be used to animals and the rear end of animals and the front end of animals and operating and injecting.
Yeah, no, not with 17 years now, Joe. I got my hip replaced that time about 17 years ago, and when I was in for the hip, you know, you have to get a kind of little injection into the stomach every day, anti-clotting, and when that used to be coming, you know, you'd know it was coming, I just built up a kind of a paranoid fear, and ever since that, I have never watched any program on television to do with medical, nursing, anything. I haven't injected an animal since. I'm lucky enough my wife is able to do it. I just have a kind of a paranoid fear. Even now, talking to you on the phone, I have to sit down because I'd get a weakness. I'm sitting alongside the phone now at the moment, like, you know.
That's because of the injection phobia.
Yeah, that's it. The first man said there, oh, gee, and it, you know, I'd regularly kind of watch the news. I wouldn't be a great television person, but... I'd nearly faint most nights now when I'd see two or three people. And then the word, I hate the word, oh, jeez, I hate that word, jab. Gee, because it sounds like violent, you know, there's a jab, you know, injection is bad enough, but jab is even worse. Like,
and how often do you have to give...
animals injections?
Yeah.
I would say in the springtime now, you'd have young calves, and if they get pneumonia, and there's different injections, then you have to give to animals on a kind of a regular basis.
And where do you, in the hip? What part?
Normally, it would be kind of in the neck, the skin around the neck, but luckily enough, my wife has no such phobias, and she's able to do it, but I couldn't even watch her doing it, and even when the vet would come now, if a vet had to come occasionally to give injections, I just have to go away, and if there was blood or anything, like from time to time, no, you might have to do an operation on a cow if you had a difficult calving, and again, like
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, well, I might hold the blanket or something like that, but I wouldn't be near the scene. I just couldn't. Maybe I have a phobia about blood. When I was young, I was getting nosebleeds, even though I got that sorted out a few years ago. They had the stuck a kind of poker up the nose, and it sorted that thing, but I just have a phobia about it. And I was saying, to get a little, I managed to give blood actually to the blood transfusion there for the first time. About 10 years ago, but when I went back the second time, they said my blood wasn't suitable. And they wouldn't take it from me anymore, so that was a major disappointment. And I spent an hour at the blood bank that night with my eyes closed the whole time. Now there was people leading me around, and I just went in with my eyes closed, came out with my eyes closed, and I didn't open them till I came home. But I could only give the one blood donation. They wouldn't take it from me anymore after that. They said my blood wasn't.
You went to the blood bank.
I did. I summoned up the courage.
But did you physically, John, keep your eyes closed?
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah, they drove. For my dead
Surely you'd be walking into doors and...
Yeah, no, they led me in and they led me to the couch, and I have to answer 100 questions when you're giving blood for the first time, and I did all that, and they took the blood. I never saw it. I kept my eyes closed the whole time till I came home, and I was as proud as Punch, Joe, but then when I went back the next time, they said I was on a tablet, but I'd been on the tablet for years, and nearly ate the head off.
And seriously, John, I know you. Did you sit there for an hour without opening your eyes?
Yeah. Oh, I did. And I have no idea.
And if you had opened your eyes and you saw...
I'd be gone. I'd faint. No, I was lying down, so I suppose it's easier to faint if you're lying down, even though fainting isn't a nice... I fainted a few times over the years because I've had a few medical procedures done.
And what's the sensation of fainting like?
the sensation of fainting, like, tis, I suppose, kind of a mixture between getting a kick in the backside, a bang in the head, and too much to drink, I suppose, because I never drank in my life, so I'm okay. Just presuming.
But do you feel yourself going when you're
fainting?
Yeah,
you just feel, you know, they talk about this thing like an out-of-body experience, that you kind of get lightheaded and away you go, and bang, Bob's your uncle, and down you go. But I mean, I would normally...
Is it very unpleasant, fainting?
Extremely unpleasant. Even though the only thing, if I ever went to a doctor now, I'd say to him, he'd say, you know, if you was prescribing medication, are you allergic to anything? I'd say, the only thing I'm allergic to is doctors, needles and nurses. So I'd always sit down and they'd be careful, and I'd usually have someone with me again in case what happened, and I'd stay in the surgery for a while afterwards until I'd recover a bit, you know?
Well, there is a name on it that's so common. It's called trypanophobia.
What is it?
Fear of needles.
I suffer from trypanophobia.
Trypanophobia.
But would that mean if I'm allergic to nurses and doctors too? Is there a name for that? I don't know.
No, you're allergic. What do you mean you're allergic to nurses and doctors?
Insofar as I couldn't watch any programme or a film on it. If there was a doctor or a nurse came on the television.
Could you watch Glen Rowe when Dinny was, Gabriel Bourne in Bracken was lamb and sheep?
Yeah, I could, because generally there wouldn't be too much blood, and that's where there's blood involved. Yeah, that's where there's blood involved. I have the serious problem. There was a programme on last week there.
What about?
Ear to the ground, and they were showing the making of black puddings with, you know, mixing the blood with the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God.
Yeah, even though I ate black puddings, let come out my eyes, but at the same time, watching the procedure making, oh, Lord, God almighty.
ER, Grey's Anatomy, Casualty,
No.
The Clinic,
never
MASH,
saw any of those.
Holby City.
No. I would never watch any of them. I wouldn't be a great television man, but if any of those were on and my wife was watching, I'd just leave the room, go down the room.
You'd have to leave the room.
Yeah, I would have to leave the room. I'd read a book. Yeah, listen to the radio or something like, you know.
Amanda, stay with us, John, for a sec. Amanda.
Joe, you don't need to bring back Funny Friday. Just have that man on every...
He's a lovely man. He's a lovely man, bringing happiness everywhere. Amanda, tell us about your phobia. Trypanophobia.
My trypanophobia started when I was in my teens, and I suffered from anemia.
Okay.
So I used to have to go for regular blood tests, and the way they did the blood test then was you stood in a line, and all the people ahead of you had their blood test done, and then it was your turn. So when it came to my turn, I just passed out, and unfortunately, all the test tubes from the people ahead of me were still on the table. And when I went, they went with me. So I woke up to a nurse giving out to me for not saying that I was a fainter. But up to then, I didn't know I was.
And did you lose all the... Your fall lost all the other test tubes of the blood that had been already taken?
Yes.
Oh, mammy.
And they all had to come back.
Oh, see, they called you more than a bloody idiot.
So ever since then, if I have to have a blood test or an injection, I just say, I'm a fainter, and they usually let you lie down.
Okay. Knock, knock, Amanda.
Who's there, Joe?
Needle.
Needle who?
Needle who? Need a little help getting through this next break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We are talking about trypanophobia, which is a fear of needles, we've just discovered, and lots of people have it. John, as you say, you went to the blood bank because you wanted to get blood, but you had to keep your eyes absolutely shut for the hour and whatever, the hour and 10 minutes you were there, as you would have fainted.
Yeah.
You can't watch it on telly. You're a farmer. You can't do injections. You're not great. You're not at all good at the bloody end at times of farming. I'm not being funny here, John, but is it in your blood? Did anyone else have it before you?
No, it's but just when you named it there, it's called trypanophobia.
No,
Oh, sorry, I thought it was frying panophobia because I was saying
that's vegetarians.
I definitely haven't fry panophobia because I love fries and all that. It's not that. No, there was no one else in the family. And I got a text there from a fellow when I was talking, and he said. He's a nurse, and he said, I'm not afraid of him. But then he doesn't wear a white dress. It's just the whole hospital atmosphere upsets me, you know what I mean? But actually, I know it is an inordinate and an unreal fear. But I'm just very lucky that I'm married to a farmer and that she doesn't mind injecting the animals, you know?
Brilliant. But you're saying it's not... It's the nurse's uniform that makes faint.
Well, you see, I suppose I associate that with the hospital. That's
and
why
the white coats and
and I associate all that thing, the kind of anaesthetics and all that. And I've been in every hospital in Cork except the maternity hospital, Joe, because I had a couple of car crashes and accidents and hips and knees and different things over the years, and I cut myself with a chainsaw. And like, it was the same every time I went in. Even familiarity doesn't breed content. It breeds more contempt, because I'd still be very upset if I had to go for an injection in the morning, you know?
And John, if you saw an ambulance rushing to a...
Yeah, well, I suppose what I do is, like we always did, my mother said, you just bless yourself and you'd say a small prayer for the person, or the same with the fire brigade. It's a kind of an old tradition, and you'd just hope, but you'd be just hoping, you know, against hope. And that's a very common occurrence now, because the ambulances...
Is that a tradition that you bless yourself if you see an ambulance or a fire engine?
An ambulance or a fire brigade, yeah.
You're saying
God help and pray for the person that they're going to attend, or the house they're going to attend, yeah.
And God help the... Godspeed to the paramedics and the firefighters.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, because they're the super people.
And with the question I've been asking everyone, John, how have you managed in the pandemic?
I've managed okay, Joe, because we're living off the road anyway, and we're farming, I find it tough, because I'm used to going to matches and meetings.
Yeah,
I have a diary now, and the diary is absolutely empty. Right. But I've done a lot of extra writing and things with the last 12 months, and a lot of tidying filing and putting stuff together, all boxes of stuff that I had years and years, and I'm kind of going through them and compiling them and forming an index. I keep myself busy.
Stay with us for a sec while I deal with the crap. Maeve Mooney is the broadcast coordinator. Mark Dwyer and Sound Niamh Dunn was on research. Today's producer, series producer, Rebecca Meehan and Ray is next. Before you go, John, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Gladys.
Gladys who?
Oh, I'm glad it's the weekend. No, Liveline, I'm off.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia.